Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For He gave His Son, the Lamb of God, who's the Savior.
Good day. This is Ann Windsor here at the Zoe Radio Network, and we're continuing with the reading of Dr. John G. Lake's sermon entitled The Science of Healing. And I want to get right into it today because, boy, there is some good stuff in this next section that we're going to look at. Refer back to the previous two broadcasts that I've done if you'd like to hear the beginning, the rest of the other parts of the sermon. Father, I thank you today. Oh, Lord, help people, your people, Lord Jesus, to see life from the spiritual dimension. Help them, Father, to understand the things of spirit, of your world, how it operates, your laws, your scientific principles of spirit. Lord, help us to learn in Jesus' name so that we can enjoy and live and overcome. Amen. Going on now. Now, in order to get the force of what I want to tell you into this next experiment, something of the process of digestion, I want to explain the assimilating power of your nature. Your capacity to assimilate God and take the life of God into your being and keep it in your being. I am not talking to you about what I believe. I am talking about what I know. For 25 years, God has kept me so that sickness nor the devil were able to touch me. From the day that I saw in the 91st Psalm a man's privilege of entering into God, not only for healing, but health, and having God and the life of God in every fiber of his being. For 25 years, God has kept me. From the day that I saw in the 91st Psalm a man's privilege of entering into God, not only for healing, but health, and having God and the life of God in every fiber of his being. If you haven't seen that in the 91st Psalm, I recommend that you go there and look for it. The process of digestion is something like this. The food we eat is reduced to vegetable length before it is absorbed by the body. But no scientist in the world has ever been able to satisfactorily explain what it is that changes the length and makes it life. Something happens when it is in the body that changes it to life. Here is the secret of digestion. When, from the spirit of man and through the spirit of man, there is being imparted to every cell of your body waves of light and life, it is the movement of your spirit. Spirit impulses passing from the cortex cells of the brain to the very ends of your fingers and toes into every cell of your body. And when they touch that vegetable limb, it is transformed into life. That is common transmutation. In the material world, you can dissolve zinc and attach a wire and transmit it to the other end of the wire. They dissolve that zinc and the battery at the one end and transmit the zinc to the other end of the wire where it is deposited. How is it done? There is a process of transmutation. That is what it is called. There is change from one form to another. My brother, you listen to me. If that is not true in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as divine life. There is no such thing as salvation through the Son of God. For that which is soulish must be transformed by the Spirit of God in us until it becomes spiritual, until it is of God. When I returned to this country this time, I submitted myself. We're going on now to the new material. So when I returned to this country this time, I submitted myself for this experiment. They attached to my head a powerful instrument that could take some kind of pictures, one after another, in order to see, if possible, what the action of the brain cells would be. Then I repeated things that were soothing and calculated to reduce the action of the cortex cells to their lowest possible action. Then I went on into the scriptures, to the better and richer things, until I came to the first chapter of John. Oh, and as I began to recite that, the fires of God began to burn in my heart. Presently, once again, the Spirit of God came upon me, and the man who was at my back touched me. It was a signal to keep that poise until one after another could look through the instrument. And finally, when I let go, the Spirit subsided, and they said, "Why, man, we cannot understand this, but the cortex cells extend so that one can only imagine it possible to the human brain." Oh, I tell you, when you pray, something is happening to you. It is not a myth. It is the action of God. It is scientific that the Almighty God comes into the soul, takes possession of the brain, lives in the cortex cells. And when you will or wish, either consciously or unconsciously, the fire of God, the power of God, that life of God, that nature of God throbs through your nerves, down through your person, into every cell of your being, into every 1,500,000 cells in every square inch of your skin, and they are alive unto God. I said to them, "Gentlemen," I think I read that too, but I'm going to go on. "I want to see one more thing. You go down in your hospital and bring a man who has inflammation of the bone." So they brought up a man with inflammation in his bone. I said, "You take your instrument and attach it to that fellow's leg, but you leave enough space to get my hand on his leg. You can have it attached on both sides." So when the thing was all ready, I put my hand on that man's shin and I prayed just like Mother Eder prays. No strange prayer, but the cry of my heart to God. I said, "God, kill the devilish business by the power of God and let it live in him. Let it move in him." I said, "Gentlemen, what is taking place?" They replied, "Every cell responds. All there is to it is that the life of God comes back into the part that is afflicted. And right away, the blood flows in and the healing is done. The work is done. My soul has grown tired long ago of men treating the whole subject of Christianity as though it were child's play. We have our physical sciences. We have our psychological sciences, the action of the mind taught in the great schools of the land. But there is something greater. One of these days, there is going to be a new chair. It will be the chair of pneumatology, the science of spirit, by which men will undertake to discover the laws of God. And by the grace of God, men shall know that God is alive, and the living spirit of God is no dream. In my healing rooms in Spokane, there came one day a dear woman whose name was Lamphere. She is the wife of a merchant in the city. She had fallen downstairs, causing a prolapse of the bowels and stomach. She had been an invalid for 11 years, and on top of that, she had become tubercular. On top of that, the poor thing developed inflammatory rheumatism until she was terribly deformed. She was going to die. The doctor said there was nothing they could do for her. They advised that she be taken to Hot Lake, Oregon, and perhaps that would do her some good. So they put her in hot baths, and there she suffered just as much as ever. So they thought they would try superheated baths. They put her in water hotter than any human being had ever been in before. The result was that instead of having any healing effect, the left leg developed an abnormal growth, and it became 3 inches shorter than the other leg. It is a simple condition of sarcoma. The foot became an inch longer. She came away from the institution worse than when she went. She got as far as Portland. Her parents were living at the Dalles. She wanted to see her parents before she died. Her husband carried her in his arms onto the ship. As she did so, a Pentecostal missionary stepped up and said, "Dear woman, we understand now why God told us to take this boat. The Lord told us last night to take the 8 o'clock boat for the Dalles." He had called up on the telephone and found the fare was $1.80. And as that was all the money they had, they went without their breakfast so as to be able to take the boat. As she lay crying with her suffering, they said, "When we get to the Dalles, we will pray for you." They were timid folks. Eventually, they reached the Dalles and went to a hotel. The two knelt to pray for her. She says, as they prayed and put their hands on her knees, their hands became illuminated until they looked like the hands of Jesus. Their faces looked like the face of Jesus, and she was afraid. But something happened. The pain went out of her. Strangely, she retained the tuberculosis and the struggle for breath. The leg remained the same length. When she examined herself, she was surprised that it was not longer. She said, "Pray again that the Lord may make it the same length as the other." But the poor missionary was staggered. He said, "Dear sister, the pain is gone. You'll be satisfied and give praise to God." So she went on 3.5 years, coughing her lungs out and with her leg longer than the other. One day she came to the healing rooms and was ministered to by Mr. Westwood, and she felt wonderfully relieved. She said, "Mr. Westwood, I can breathe clear down into my stomach." He said, "What makes you limp?" She answered, "There is a big lump on the inside of my knee." He said, "I'll pray for that." "But," she said, "the man told me I should be satisfied if the pain was gone." Mr. Westwood said, "He had not grown up in God yet." Oh, bingo. I hope we're all taking that statement to heart. Hallelujah, Father. He put his hands on that lump and prayed, and God Almighty dissolved that lump of bone. And that leg grew at the rate of 1 inch a day, and she wears shoes like anyone else. Here's a good statement now. There is a difference between healing and miracle. Healing is the restoration of diseased tissue. But miracle is a creative action of the Spirit of God in a man's life. At the salvation of a soul is a divine miracle of God. Every time Christ speaks the word life to a man's heart, there is a divine creative miracle of God in him, and he is a new man in Christ Jesus. One day, oh my, now we're going to get down to the story of Elias Latwaba. Oh, you'll love this one. One day I sat in Los Angeles talking to old Father Seymour. This is Azusa Street, the man that was the head of the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. I told him an incident in my life of Elias Latwaba, one of our native preachers who lived in the native country. I came to his home and his wife said, "He is not home. A little baby is hurt and he is over praying for it." So we went over and got down on our knees and crawled into the native hut. I saw he was kneeling in a corner by the dying child. I said, "Latwaba, it is me. What is the matter with the child?" He told me that it hurt its neck. I examined it and saw that the baby's neck was broken. And I said to Latwaba, "Why, Latwaba, the baby's neck is broken." I did not have faith for a broken neck. Did you hear that now? Dr. Lake had his experiences. He'd already seen his wife raised from the dead, or healed, his sister raised from the dead, his brother healed, his sister healed of incurable breast cancers, his wife raised at the door from the door of death. Many, many healings up to this time, but now he came to this point. So don't be discouraged. I want to tell you that if you run into situations, I thought it was interesting. He just admitted, "I don't have the faith for that." I know it may be hard for you to believe that there were times Dr. Lake didn't have the faith for something, but here he was in Africa doing a great mission work there. And I know he'd seen many people healed. But in this particular instance, he admits that he didn't have the faith. But, oh, you're going to hear what he says later. It's so good. So good. "I did not have the faith for a broken neck, but the poor old Latwaba did not know the difference. And I saw he did not understand, but he discerned the spirit of doubt in my soul. I said to myself, I am not going to interfere with his faith. He will just feel the doubt and all the old traditional things I ever learned. So I will go out." And I did. I went and sat in another hut and kept on praying. I went to bed at 1 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, Latwaba came in. I said, "Well, Latwaba, how about the baby?" He looked at me lovingly and sweetly and said, "Why, brother, the baby is all well." I said, "The baby is well? Take me to the baby at once." I went to the baby and took the little black thing on my arm. I came out and prayed, "Lord, take every cursed thing out of my soul that keeps me from believing the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh my. Hallelujah, Father. "Lord, take every cursed thing out of my soul that keeps me from believing the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, just let Jesus get bigger and bigger and bigger in your sight. In my meeting in Spokane is a dear man who came from Texas. He told us that he was dying of pellagra. He came to Sister Etter's meeting in Dallas. Apparently on the train he died and they laid his body in the station house. covered him with some gunny sacks, but discovered in the morning he was still alive. So they carried him to Mother Eder's meeting, and she came down off the platform and prayed for him. That man is living and has been preaching the gospel for 7 years at Spokane. Why, there is more science in the Son of God in 5 minutes than the ignorant old world ever knew. I love that statement. Why, there is more science in the Son of God in 5 minutes than the ignorant old world ever knew. You just think about all the scientific advancements now since the time of Lake. Medical advancements, scientific advancements, technological. It's all foolishness to God. It's all just like child's play. Kindergarten. So let's just go to the Son of God. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life of God is that which the mind of men, the keenest of them, never knew and never discovered. 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world by wisdom knew not God. They could not discern his death nor understand the marvels of his life until the Lord Jesus came and lived and died and entered into Hades and destroyed the powers of darkness and liberated the souls of men, liberated them from the chains of darkness and came forth into the world to speak God's word and reveal God's power and show God's nature. And by the grace of God, man has been privileged to enter into the nature of Jesus. And the fires of God burn in his soul like they burned in the soul of Jesus. Hallelujah. The scientific world has been startled by one of the English scientists who has come forward with a formula for transmuting the grosser metals into gold. It did not work. Years ago, this knowledge was known to the world, but somehow it disappeared from the world. Recently, men again have attempted to change lead, silver, and iron, transmuting them into gold. Beloved, that is the thing that Jesus Christ has been doing all this time. It is as old as Christianity, as old as the Son of God. He has been coming into the hearts of men, taking the old base conditions of the nature, injecting his life into them, injecting his power into them. And in the mighty action of the Holy Ghost, they have been changed into the pure gold of God. Hoo-hoo! My, what words. If there never was another blessing that came to the world through Pentecost but this one, all the price that men could pay would be as nothing for it. For I want to tell you, there has been more real divine researching by the Holy Ghost into the nature of God and the nature of men in these last 15 years than there ever was in the whole world. When anyone comes to me with a statement that there is nothing in the Holy Ghost but a psychological manifestation, I say, brother, sister, come with me and see the gems of God and the beautiful gold that has come out of the dross and the dirty lives, and then you will know. Oh, this next story is one of my favorite. In my assembly at Spokane is a dear little woman who was totally blind for 9 years. She had little teaching along the line of faith in God. She sat one day with her group of 6 children to discover that the dirty brute of a husband had abandoned her. A debased human being is capable of things that no beast will do, for a beast will care for its own. You can imagine what that little heart was like. She was broken and bruised and bleeding. She gathered her children around her and began to pray. They were sitting on their front porch. Presently, the little one got up and said, "Oh, Mama, there is a man coming up the path, and he looks like Jesus. Oh, Mama, there is blood on his hands and blood on his feet." And the children were frightened and ran around the corner of the house. After a while, the biggest one looked around the corner and said, "Why, Mama, he is laying his hands on your eyes." And just then, her blind eyes opened. And beloved, if we could have seen the reason, we would have seen that there were some Christians at Zion Gate or some other place who were praying the power of God on a hungry world. And Jesus Christ, in his search, rushed into her life and sent her forth to praise God and teach the gospel of Jesus. Oh, isn't that just wonderful? Oh, Mama, there is a man coming up the path, and he looks like Jesus. Oh, Mama, there is blood on his hands and blood on his feet. Why, Mama, he is laying his hands on your eyes. That's our Jesus. If you don't know him, oh, you don't know that life with a capital L, for he is life. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come into him." Hallelujah. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. He died on the cross to cleanse you of your sins so you can approach God, even if you know you're guilty before him. Jesus' blood makes the way for you just to come and ask for forgiveness and receive the Son of God and receive this life. Oh, hallelujah. Be born again. Receive the life of God, the nature of God, the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. I just encourage you just to continue to study the life of John G. Lake. Don't listen to anything negative about him. People have negative things to say about everybody and everything that wants to bless and do good, especially when you get into the supernatural realms. Just tune into this broadcast. We're going to continue on. But as I said, ask Jesus into your heart. He'll hear your prayer, and he will come in. Just like it says here, he's going back and forth throughout the earth, searching for those that he can touch, heal, and fill with his presence. Hallelujah. Just say in your own words, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness for my sins. I know that you died on the cross for my forgiveness. I receive you as my life as my Savior." Well, we've got a little still left to go. Oh, my. And believe me, it does. The excitement does not diminish. It just continues to build. So we'll do part four, and that will conclude our session here of reading Dr. Lake's sermon on the science of healing. God bless you all.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe he wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. Let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God.